Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome to the Bible Study Coaching Series on Building a Covenant Community. This is study number 11, Be Constant in Prayer. Well, this is taken from Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, and it's part C of that verse. And looking at this again, I would encourage you to commence the night in a way that invites fellowship. So serving snacks or tea, coffee, cold drinks, whatever. And if you have a kitchen or a dining area in the home, great to be able to do it in there so that when you move into the lounge room or wherever you move into, it becomes a change of atmosphere, getting down to business, so to speak. I'd also encourage you that when you begin to lead your group in the Bible study, that you preempt it with two questions, which invites people to share a part of their story and a part of their ongoing story. The first question would be, what are you thankful for? And the second question would be, what would you like prayer for? A careful home group leader, a careful Bible study, small group leader, will listen well. And I would encourage you to note down the answers. I generally put TF, thankful, and then I put dash, so I might put John Smith, so JS, TF equals, and then just make a note of it. And then I might, under that, I might put PP, prayer point. What would they like prayer for? And go in the room. And as the home group leader, if no one else asks questions or passes comment as the thank point or the prayer point is being offered, then as the group leader, then it may be appropriate for you to do so, to ask a question of them just for clarification. Having done that, I would then return to the prayer points at the end of the night and go around the room. So in other words, you go clockwise around the room, starting with the person on your left and finishing with the person on your right. Well, you actually close, but the person on your right, then you close in prayer. And that way, it gives people a license. It gives people an excuse to pray in public, even if it is a very short, sharp prayer. That's fine. Just as long as they're participating, I think is really, really helpful. Well, be constant in prayer. This is one of those studies that could be used to beat the average believer up, because after all, who among us prays enough? The answer is none of us. Who is effective in prayer? Well, again, the answer is probably not many of us would offer that. Our goal in looking at this study is not to beat anyone up, it's to encourage. So let's have a look at this. I've got a scripture up here out of the Romans 12 passage. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. It says this, "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." So there's quite a statement about the power of prayer. And Paul says, you're actually helping our apostolic mission. You're helping us to be able to lead people to Christ and to plant churches. That's what prayer does, the Apostle Paul says. So let's have a look at the study. Christianity is prayerful. While prayer is talking with, not just to, God, it is much more. Prayer is integral to someone becoming and continuing to grow as a Christian. But prayer is not just a set of magical incantations. This is why we never use the almost magical description of prayer as prayer power. Mysteriously, God has ordained preaching and prayer as the sacred means by which the gospel is advanced. Similarly, in God's wisdom, He has decreed that His purpose is furthered by His people praying. Hence, Paul could write 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, which we read, that you must also help us by prayer. where he appealed for prayer to be offered so that the gospel would be received by more people. Since the epistle to the Romans is largely about salvation and the context of being in constant prayer seems to be about supporting the goal of seeing others saved. Question 1. Who should we particularly pray for to be saved according to 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 to 4, and why might this be prioritized? Well, it says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of our God and Saviour, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So what does it say? Well, first of all, then I urge that praying, it says in verse 2, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly, dignified in every way. So there seems to be that we pray for those people who in culture have influence, and that influence allows us to live quiet, peaceful, godly lives in which we can evangelize. So that's why those people are a priority. Question 2, why is Philippians chapter 1 verses 9 to 11 regarded as one of the most beautiful pastoral prayers of the New Testament? Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, why is that a beautiful pastoral prayer? This, I'm hoping, will lead to some discussion. For those people who say, well, I'm not an evangelist, I don't really have a tremendous burden to pray for the lost. Well, you should have at least a burden to pray for those who are already found. And if that's the case, what can we learn from this prayer? Well, the apostle's praying that people may be found to be excellent, pure, blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So the prayer is that love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment to know right from nearly right, so that people can live excellently, purely, blamelessly, filled with a righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ, and that they might live to the glory and praise of God. Now, that is a beautiful prayer. So consider how that might form and shape our own praying. And as a group leader, see if there's, I'd be asking the question something like, what principles can we learn from this particular prayer to pray for one another? Being constant in prayer does not mean that we are always praying every moment of the day, but rather we are prayerful throughout our day by lacing the moments of our days in prayer as we go about our business and our interactions with others, and being constantly responding to those opportunities we have to pray and commune with the Father. Question 3, according to Philippians 4:6, how is prayer the antidote to worry? And Philippians 4:6 is something I often quote. I say, when in a fix, Philippians 4:6. This is what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That will set your mind at ease, knowing that you've committed every worry, every anxiety, every pressure that you face to God the Father. Give it to him in prayer. That's why prayer in this instance will be the antidote to worry. Question 4, based on Colossians 4:12, which says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. The question is, why was Epaphras struggling, and what was he hoping would be achieved? Well, he was struggling because he felt that there was obviously enough false teaching getting in there, and we can see that from Paul's epistle to the Colossians that the Gnostics were getting in and corrupting him. So he was really struggling in prayer. He was praying with a great fervency that they would stand mature and be fully assured in the will of God so that they wouldn't be susceptible to the false teaching. That's another thing that prayer can do. It can cause people to stand. Question 5, what did Peter write would aid our praying? 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. So what did he say? Being sober-minded would be something that would help. Being self-controlled and sober-minded would help us to pray. The Gospel of Luke is sometimes called the Gospel of Prayer. The next time you read the Gospel of Luke, take note of how often Luke tells us that Jesus was praying. It's not just the frequency of Christ's praying, it's the circumstances that is especially noteworthy. Jesus prayed while walking, as he was being baptized, when others slept, after being crucified, and in other surprising circumstances. May God help us to constantly pray too. Well, I think this is worth having a bit of a discussion about. What does it look like for each person in the group to pray constantly? The Benedictine monks, they would take every hour, stop what they were doing on the hour, and pray. One of the prayers that they would repeat often is this prayer, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Simply constantly keeping that in prayerful thought changed their perspective on the world. Well, as you come to the close of the meeting, this is where I would try and be as consistent time-wise as possible and then say to the group, we're going to pray now, we're going to pray for these needs, and I would remind them, we started with John Smith, just the fictitious name, and I would read out his prayer point. I would then go around the room and just read out each person's prayer point and ask the person on my left to begin praying for any one of those, just pick one, and for each group member to pray for one of those needs represented at the start of the evening. And then it comes to you and you close by perhaps in your prayer asking God to help you and each member of your group to be a person who is able to be constantly in prayer. I trust this Bible study helps and enriches you. And coming up in our next study, we'll look at study number 12, contribute to the needs of the saints.